or the creation in the studio of the choreographic net that captures something. And in one of my collaborations with the Haida, I was guided by dreams. Usually I'm not, but they told me that's how dances came into being. So lo and behold, I started dreaming, and dreaming of the dance. And one dream was a dream of a circle of people, all the people I was collaborating with. I was collaborating with a village, the village of Skidigit in Haida Gwaii. So there were a lot of people in this circle. I was outside the circle. And the discussion was what my role would be. And one of the more significant collaborators said, well, she can be the secretary. And I said, yes, but I don't know how to type. And she said, it doesn't matter. It's really easy. You just let it go through you. And I think that became my modus operandi. That became my guiding methodology, that it was going through me. And it did go through me, and it came into being the piece that we were meant to make together in this collaboration, this village and I. And so now I think I'm just going to ask you to connect once more to your breath. Come back to your breath. Come back to the weight of your body. Come back to the sense that you are inspirited flesh in this extraordinary space. Thank you. I would like to ask you now if you'd talk to me, with me. If you have anything to say, any comments or any questions, I think it would be great to hear what you have to say. Yes? I did. Yes, way back when. She's amazing. She was always amazing. Yeah. At the time I saw her performances, she was not actually performing, but she came to the school. So while she was, yeah, she had just stopped dancing, I think, by the time I went to New York, which was the 70s. So her pieces I didn't see. I'll tell you what struck me now that I'm going back there, was that without her, they'd lost something essential. That she always performed in her own pieces, that she was a powerful performer. And I think when she stopped dancing, the work became more codified, more visual, because I think a lot of her technique came out of Eastern techniques of breath. A lot of the things that I'm now studying in yoga was what her techniques were based upon. But they became much more muscular when they went on to her students. So, does that make sense? I mean, her pieces are marvelous. They're just marvelous, marvelous compositions. Timeless, extraordinary work. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes? Ooh. Oh. No. No, not at all. No, not at all. I only do... I kind of don't do First Nations choreography style. Only when I'm collaborating. Because everything... Like right now I'm collaborating with a woman dancer artist named Margaret Grenier, who is the daughter of Chief Ken Harris that I collaborated with in Gawagani. And we're doing a piece called Broken, which has to do with the breaks of colonialism, the brokenness of our mutual history, but also the discovery that there's a mask called Broken that means the light breaking through. So back to paradox, we're investigating the paradox, because we're thinking maybe this broken is a knock-knock, is a spirit, So I come from my tradition, my Western dance tradition. She comes from her Gixan tradition, and we try to cross this immense abyss. That's what the collaboration is. Does that make more sense? Well, the abyss for certainly as Margaret describes it, or between Western dance and First Nations dance, is we're stuck with a terrible history. We have a terrible, terrible history there, the history of colonialism. And, you know, the ban of dancing, I mean, First Nations were legally prohibited from dancing. So bad, bad history. That's a lot of the abyss. But yes, something that has certainly been part of my investigation is that Western dance did choose a less, I would call less embodied and more visual dance practice than some other cultures. The reasons are so complex, are so woven into history. But when I say it goes back to the garden, I am somewhat serious that to split the mind and the body is going to leave you with a very different kind of dance than if the mind and the body are seen as an integral whole. Or we talk mind and body, we talk spirit and body, body and soul. But many, many recent movements in dance and in physical practice are called somatic practices. People are hungry to draw now the body and the mind and the soul back together and to dance from there, to work from there, to you know, heal from there. That's, I don't think I can go into the whole historical sort of history of why. But then you listen to that hymn, The Lord of the Dance. I mean, so nothing is black and white is what I keep discovering, is that there are sort of dominant themes in a culture, but there's always these parallel themes, always, that go along with it. Or back to your question about Martha Graham. Certainly from what I can understand and from old movies I've seen of Martha, she was one embodied dancer. She was whole. And you didn't see any of the technique that later became so paramount and important to her later disciples. So somebody had a question over there. Yes. Yeah, that's a good question, because there's really different schools of dance. There are people who never choreograph without music, then they choreograph to the music. There are other people who dance, who always start with a story. Then there's me, who never starts with music and never starts with a story. I almost always work with composers and create the music and the dance together. And as I was saying when I described Sisyphus, which did have a story, finally, that I didn't start there. I went around and around and around, and the story emerged, and that's how I like the story, or the essence of it, to be discovered. Oh yeah, there's usually lots of things. Yeah, back to the idea of the spirit of inquiry. Often I want to know something. I want to find out something. I know, well, I'll keep on with Sisyphus since I've started talking about it. And then you'll see how far it was. With Sisyphus, I was thinking a lot about work. Work, you know, like physical labor. I even had the dancers redo our floor. I want, because we came into the studio and it had a horrible cement floor. So we built a floor. I wanted work. I wanted to get the relationship of work and dance. And somehow out of that came Sisyphus, you know, struggling up that hill and then falling down. And that sense of, so what goes on in my mind, like the river, I'll go to pieces I've already talked about. I wanted to know about the connection of body and land. Often I want to know what's the connection. What's this about? I want to discover something or learn something or understand something. Yeah, good question. I just saw Balanchine's the Miami Ballet. Did you see that? They brought a program of Balanchine here. And I was watching it, and I was thinking, that's why I brought it up today, I was thinking, better check the time here. I was thinking how when I was in New York, I would go and see the New York City Ballet would have a 3-month season, and I would watch every single show they had, just Balanchine after Balanchine. It's brilliant, brilliant creator. His compositions are incredible. But I was also aware, really aware, because it's been many years since I've been seen all that Balanchine, that it's very visual. It's a visual tableau, brilliantly set to music, so that each little, you know, is got its musical. It's a musicalization of movement, beautifully, beautifully done. But you think, I don't know, you saw it. Some of those tableaus, like finishing tableaus, with, you know, all the men are on the floor and everything is just, it's beautiful. It's like moving, musicalized sculpture. So while I love it, it's not where I want to go anymore. Now, where does it sit? I would say that the audiences are mostly looking for that visual, musical experience, which is fine. Because for me, dance is dance is dance. If they go and see dance, I'm happy. Even if it's not my kind of dance. Yes. I do that too. I work in, I think of them as arenas. So I think of the studio stage-based work with professional dancers as being an arena. And another arena is the community engaged work I do. I have a practice in the downtown east side. I do workshops at Carnegie regularly. And have been doing that for 10 years. And I also work in cross-cultural work. And in many ways, these different arenas, they're all woven together. They're all part of a larger exploration. And a love of the art form. And I agree, there is a whole area of dance that is healing. That is healing and empowering. And that's what drew me to community engaged work. Should probably wrap up soon, right? Maybe one or two more questions. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, because it really revolves around your question about where does the art form sit. I mean, if I just come down here, what's called a proscenium. So this is a triangle, so right away you can't do a proscenium. But the proscenium is it's a rectangle like this. And, you know, often there's curtains. And that rectangle is exactly the same as perspective, right? So this is back to the Western art form. What it suggests is there's only one viewpoint. You're all looking at it, and it's going in sort of like this. So while I'm interested and I love creating work for after a while I want more. And the more became, as I was describing in the piece Passage, where the audience was in the same space and were vibrating with the dance, with the dancers. And so, or even then to take it even farther, to begin working with people to have them actually experience dance and not just watch it. So then having experienced it, because I know that many people that I've worked with in the community then really want to go watch stuff. But they're watching it from a position of having done. I mean, think about it. Everybody drew and everybody painted everybody's written stuff. And you're familiar with the language of words. You're familiar with the language of music. You all sing, I heard you. And you theater, you talk. But dance has become really pushed out. I mean, except, you know, when you were courting or something, or when you're a teenager, or people who still do the forms of dance, it got pushed out and not present as a language, as something. When I talked to Vincent Matsoe, the South African dancer I described, he said everybody dances. In their culture, everybody dances. Yes, some people just want to make it their life, but everybody dances. The way most people do something on the little bit of piano, or they sing, or yeah. So, I mean, that's pushed me out of the purely proscenium studio stage arena. I just couldn't be satisfied there. It seemed too small and too didn't feel happy there. Didn't feel comfortable. It felt cramped. Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. That'd be wonderful. Yeah. Because I think what I'm trying to get across is it's not just the eyes. It's I just keep doing these things. But it's a reverberation, it's a vibration, and the more space within the body, the more the dance is taken in, shared. So I think we need to stop there. And one more question. I was, because she broke her tailbone, so it was very, very painful getting up, as you can imagine. Like, usually when we get up, have you noticed how you get up? You know, it's usually quite a bit of muscle involved and maybe pushing on something. There's muscle. But every time she did that, she was in excruciating pain because she'd cracked her tailbone. So what I was trying to get her to do was rock the weight of the body forward so that she'd free the tailbone and then swing her pelvis forward, and it was six. Yeah, it worked. So it's really, really simple. Thank you. Thank you.
Karen, the appreciation is obvious.